John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And this afternoon we will be concluding our sermonic series on what Baptists believe. And so we will be ending this afternoon in John chapter 10. And when you get to John chapter 10, look with me, if you will, at verses 27 through 30. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. As usual, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And so you'll find these are similar words. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Amen. Talk just for a few moments from the subject, the security of the saints. The security of the saints. Those of you who have been trekking with us, we began by looking at the sufficiency of Scripture. Next, we delved into the autonomy of the assembly. Then we talked about the memorial meal. And this afternoon, I want to talk about the security of the saints. If you paid attention to current events over the past few months, then you have been aware of the fact that there has seemingly been an increase, a rash of recent data breaches at large companies that has caused many to become trepidatious and concerned about their financial security. Most popularly and most infamously, earlier this year, the retail store Target experienced such a data breach in which thousands upon thousands of customers had their identity compromised as their credit card information fell into the hands of people that should not have them. And so it has caused the American people to become concerned with, is my identity, is my finances, are they secure? If you're like me, even though I live out in the country, I live out in Vance, there's not many people that drive through the neighborhood, not many people that live on my street. Yet if you pull up to my house, what you'll see in my front yard is a little blue sign. And on this sign, it reads ADT Security. This sign is to let people know that my home is being monitored by the company ADT. So much to the point to where if you would intrude upon my property and if you would come into my home and the alarm would sound, it would signify to ADT that there's something wrong going on at my house and they will send the police. The only reason why I would have this is because I am concerned with the safety and the security of my family. And so what we can deduce then is that we live in a day and we live in a time in which there is great need for people to feel secure. I'm talking to my parents who are quite a bit older than me. I don't know how many of you have seen my parents, but if you've seen my parents, it becomes fairly obvious that I was a uh-oh. We didn't know that we could still do that. And so my parents, they tell me of a time that is very unfamiliar to me, in which people were able to leave their front doors unlocked all night long. People were able to leave their cars unlocked when they went places because there was a certain sense of security that is foreign to us these days. Because whether you know it or not, when you pulled up this morning to First Baptist Old Jonesboro, you probably didn't even do it consciously, but when you pulled up and got out of your car, you locked your doors, and even if you are not as fancy as some of us, you know, we have security systems on our cars, and so as we lock our doors, you maybe heard the beep beep of a security system, or you heard the toot toot of a horn to let you know, don't try to break into my car because it is secure. But isn't it interesting that even in church, there's a need for security? But I'm here this morning to give you some good news. That if you are a saint, if you have been born again, if you have been washed in the blood of the crucified Lamb, then you are secure. Matter of fact, the old church put it in song form. They said, I'm leaning. I'm just leaning. Safe, I wish I had some help, and secure from all alarms. I don't have to worry about anything when I'm in Christ because I am secure. And so it is, my security is not necessarily tied to my finances, because even as a believer, my money can get funny. Even as a believer, my change can get a little strange. My security is not tied to my finances. My security is not tied to my health. Because I can be sick today, and I can be well the next day. I can be walking around for this minute, and the next minute you can be calling the paramedics for me. My security is not even connected to other people. Because whether you know it or not, this is not a perfect church. And even the people in this church will let you down from time to time. There are folks here that will hurt your feelings sometime. And there are folks here that will make you question whether or not they're even saved. But I'm here to tell you that my security is tied to nothing other than this. That I am never going to have to worry about where my soul will end up when I die. If I close my eyes on this side, when I open them, I know where I'm going to open them. I wish I had some help in here. I may not know when I'm going to leave, but I know that whenever it is that I leave, that I'm going to wake up in glory. Secure. And so Baptists believe historically that as a believer, that when it is that I have been saved, when it is that I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, when it is that I have been born again, then from that moment forward, then I am secure. Some have phrased it in this manner: once I've been saved, then I'm always saved. I cannot lose my salvation. But if I've been saved, then I am secure. And there is perhaps no greater text in all of Holy Writ that demonstrates this to us than the text that we have before us in John chapter number 10. Note with me in verse number 27. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Jesus says in no uncertain terms that if I am a believer, that if he has saved me, that if I am a sheep of his flock, then I am secure. Note the personal pronoun that begins verse number 27, my. Jesus is not talking about just any kind of sheep, but Jesus says, my sheep, the sheep that I own, the sheep that I possess. And in fact, in verse number 29, he gives us even further detail. These are his sheep. We are his sheep because the Father has given us to him. We are his sheep. Don't you remember in Psalm 100 where it is that the psalmist says, we are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. He owns me. He possesses me. I am his, and he is mine. The security of the believer lies in this, that if I am his sheep and he is my shepherd, then I never have to worry about anything, because I have a shepherd who will always be there to take care of me. Earthly shepherds, they'll die one day. And if they die and there's no other shepherd that's there to take their place, then they'll be sheep without a shepherd. But I'm here to tell you this afternoon that we have a shepherd who will never die. Matter of fact, he was dead, but he is alive forevermore. He is the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. And he says, if you're my sheep, then there will be recognition. Don't you see it in the text? My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. If anyone knows anything about sheep, then you know this, that sheep don't follow any and everybody. But sheep have to recognize the voice of their shepherd before they will follow. There's recognition. And Jesus says, if you're really my sheep, then you'll hear my voice. But note, it's not just that you'll be a hearer only, but you'll hear my voice and you'll follow me. You'll hear, but with the hearing, you'll do. And that's why if you just come to church on Sunday, and you get sermons, but you never live sermons, then you're not his sheep. If you're full of the Holy Spirit on Sunday and full of something else throughout the rest of the week, then you're not his sheep, because his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. That's why the old church would say, where he leads me, I will follow. I can't be his sheep and do any and everything. I can't be his sheep and go any and everywhere. But wherever the Lord leads me, that's where I go. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. That there's recognition on their part, but there's also recognition on the part of the shepherd. For notice what he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And so it's good to know Jesus. But can I tell you, it's better for Jesus to know you. And there ought to be some people in here that can testify, I know that the Lord knows me. How you know he knows you? He knows me because he comes to see about me. Who am I preaching to in here? When I'm down and out, it's the Lord that raises me up. He knows me. He knows what I'm going through. Knows when I'm ready to give up. Knows when I'm ready to throw in the towel. He knows every hair on my head. Knows the number of the hairs on my head. He knows all about me. And so there's good news in the recognition. I know my shepherd. And my shepherd knows me. But note, not only is there recognition, but there is provision. Stay with me in the text. Verse number 28, he says, and I give them eternal life. No, Jesus says that the eternal life that they have, I give it to them. They didn't earn it. Didn't work for it. Nothing that you could do to deserve this eternal life. But I have eternal life. Watch it, not because of what I do. But I have eternal life because of what he has done. And that's good news this morning when I consider that the Lord is not looking at my resume. He's not concerned with my accomplishments. He is not moved by my achievements. For the Bible says, we have been saved by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's good news today because when I look over my own life, I can see that there are days when I fall short. That there are times in which I don't meet the mark. That there are times in which I may falter. And there are times in which I may fail. But here's the good news. I still have eternal life. Because I didn't gain eternal life. I was given eternal life. And so I can't lose eternal life. Because I didn't get it for myself. And if I didn't get it for myself, then there's nothing that I can do to ever lose it. He says, I give it to them. It's free to all. He says, I give it to them. Doesn't matter how many times you show up on Sundays. That does not entitle you to eternal life. Doesn't matter how many auxiliaries you're on. That does not entitle you to eternal life. Doesn't matter how many sermons you preach. I wish I had some help in here. That does not entitle you to eternal life. I don't care how long your name's been on the church roll. I don't care if your name is on the deeds to the church. I don't care if you laid the cornerstone. Unless your name is Jesus the Christ, then you don't deserve eternal life. But because he lived the life that we couldn't live, because he lived that perfect life, and he earned life, then he's able now to give it to us. Not only did he earn life, but I think I really need to tell somebody that he is life. For I hear Jesus saying in John chapter number 14 and verse number 6, I am the way. I wish I had some Bible readers. The truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except they come by me. He says, I give them eternal life. He states it positively. But Reverend Lyons, not only does he state it positively, then he turns around and says the same thing negatively. I give them eternal life, watch it, and they shall never perish. I like the Greek because in the Greek, Jesus really employs a double negative. What he says, if we translate it literally, is I give them eternal life, watch it, and they shall not never perish. It really indicates that it is emphasized. Jesus is making a point that there is no possibility, that there is no chance, that there is not even the slightest possibility that one of his sheep could ever perish. And so here's why I'm shouting, because I may die, but I'll never perish. What you talking about, preacher? Didn't you hear what he said to Lazarus? What he said to Martha about Lazarus? He said, Martha, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, they yet shall they live. And if they live, they shall never die. Jesus says, my sheep, they know me. My sheep, they hear me. There's recognition. They follow me. I know them. Recognition. And because I recognize them, then I give them eternal life. There's good news in that. But then there's also very sobering news. Because the fact of the matter is, everybody isn't his sheep. Don't you see, if you just jump up to verse number 26, he says, you don't believe because you are not of my sheep. And so if Jesus must recognize you as his sheep, in order to give you eternal life, then the fact remains that if you never get eternal life, then Jesus didn't recognize you. And that's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, there'll be many on that day that'll say to me, Lord, Lord, that they recognize me, but I didn't recognize them. Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we perform miracles in your name? Can I add to the list? Didn't we sing in the choir? Didn't we play on the organ? Didn't we serve as a deacon? Didn't we usher on the usher board? Didn't we shout every Sunday? Didn't we preach sermons to the church? And Jesus will say, depart from me. You who work iniquity, I never knew. You know me, but I don't know you. So then my provision is tied to the recognition. And I'm shouting this morning because if I realize that he recognizes me, then I never have to worry about will he provide for me. For the Lord provides. I wish I had some help for everybody that he recognizes. Can't you hear Paul saying, my God shall supply all my need. I wish I had some Bible readers. According to his riches in glory. And David, he said before Paul, I've been young. Now I'm old. But there's one thing I've never seen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And there ought to be some people in here that can testify that because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything. All right. There's recognition. There is provision. But lastly, there is protection. I'm still in the text. Verse number 28. He says, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That word, snatch, it speaks of catching or dragging something in a violent manner. It's really the same word that he uses in John chapter 10, verse number 12, in which he says, the wolf catches the sheep. Same word in the Greek. And so what Jesus says then is that if you're my sheep, if I recognize you, I'll provide for you and I will protect you. Nobody. I said nobody will be able to snatch them out of my hand. And just in case that wasn't enough for you, he says in verse 29, my Father who gave them to me, he is greater than all. That's megas in the Greek. Same word from which we get our English word mega. It means that God is bigger than big. Matter of fact, the old folks would say he's so high that you can't get over him. I wish I had some help. He's so wide that you can't get around him. The Lord is greater than all. And that's why the songwriter said, I searched all over. Couldn't find, I'm getting happy. I look high, I look low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. I said nobody greater than you. Jesus says my Father is greater than everybody. And nobody can snatch them from my Father's hand. I'm secure. I'm protected. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Even though weapons may be formed against him, they'll never be able to prosper. Though the whole world may be against me, if God be for me, I feel something pushing me. Who in the world dare be against me? Talk about me. Lie on me. Stab me in my back. Try your best to make me give up. But as long as I'm in the Father's hand, as long as the Lord has his hand on me, then there's nothing that you can do to me. You may be able to destroy my body, but you'll never be able to touch my soul. Because the Lord is protecting me. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. They follow me. This is why Elder Williams, when you flip over one chapter, in John chapter 11, you see Jesus standing at a tomb.
Yeah.
From a man that has been dead for 4 days.
Matter of fact, he's not just dead, but he good and dead. For Martha says, Lord, by this time, I wish I had some Bible readers. Lazarus is stinking. And Jesus, when he stands at the tomb, Jesus says, Lazarus,
come forth.
Come forth.
Yeah, thank you.
Y'all missed it. He says, Lazarus, I know you. And you know me. So I'm calling you by name. Lazarus, come forth. I'm glad he said Lazarus. Because if he didn't say Lazarus, Abraham would have got up. Isaac would have got up. Jacob would have got up. Joseph would have got up. Moses would have got up. David would have got up. But I'm so glad that the Lord knows my name. Why are you glad, Pastor? Because of one glad morning when this life is over. I hear the Bible saying that the sky is going to roll back. That the trumpet shall sound. That the sky is going to cry. And that the archangel is going to shout. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. He's calling me by my name. He's going to tell me, Emmanuel David, it's time to get up. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up and I'll make you ruler over many. For the Bible says that whoever is in the Lord's hand, they will have eternal life. They'll never perish. Nobody's going to be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Is that good news this morning? And here's why I'm shouting. I'm shouting because he didn't have to do it. I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve to be his sheep. But before I was even born, while I was in eternity past, before my parents were even born, and before their parents were born, and before their parents was born, the Bible says that those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. I'm shouting this morning because the Lord didn't start knowing me when my mama met my daddy. But the Lord knew me before he said, let there be light. That's why the Bible says that the Lamb has been slain from the foundations of the world. I'm feeling happy this evening because that lets me know that the Lord had me in mind when he decided to create me. He knew that he wanted me in his sheepfold. And so in order to get me in his sheepfold, the Lord provided for me a lamb. God help me, y'all miss that. In order for me to be a sheep, the Lord gave me a lamb. And is there anybody in here that knows who the lamb is? Good evening, First Baptist. May the Lord God bless you real good. But I wonder, is there anybody in here that can stand on your feet and help me tell this world just who the Lamb is? The Bible says that he is the firstborn, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He is the express image of the unseen God. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Is there anybody in here that knows who I'm talking about? But won't you just help me call his name? His name is Jesus. I said, Jesus, he is my shepherd. God bless you. Doors of the church are open. Doors of the church are open. Doors of the church are open. I'm secure. I'm safe. I don't have to worry about anything. I may go to my job tomorrow, and they may give me a pink slip. May get a letter in the mail saying that my house has been foreclosed on. May go to the doctor and get a bad report. Of these things, I can't be sure. But there's one thing that I can be assured of. That because of what Jesus did for me, then I'm on my way to heaven. And that's why the old church would say, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased by God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Oh, the day long. But there may be somebody here today.